Moving from military back into civilian life is the time to explore where your training can take you. But is there a school that builds on your experience to show you the best way forward? Yes, Brandman University, a military-friendly school where your prior experience means you're already on your way to completing a degree in as few as 7 classes. Get your civilian life and your education moving in the right direction and go ahead with school, not back to it, at Brandman University. Visit brandman.edu/military or click the banner.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on The Answer San Diego, KCBQ AM and FM, and K-Praise, KPRZ AM and FM. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. You said that like you said it before. Well done. I know. I'm just well done.
I'm just reading it off the page.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How is everybody?
I'm doing good.
Doing well,
good
thank
week.
You.
Did there. You have a good week?
Yeah, it wasn't a bad week.
It's an okay week.
The weather's getting better.
It's starting to cool off. At least it's been cooling off at night, though.
Yeah, good point.
Wait a minute. That's my line.
Yeah, it is, typically.
I was waiting for you to say I slept better because it's cooler, doors open, screens open, or however you do it.
That is how I do it. Was that you outside last night? Creeper.
Yeah.
No, it is nice, though the temperatures have come down dramatically. So, but just for this week.
True.
Well, it's supposed to go back up next week?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
On a Tuesday, it's supposed to be 90. So.
Not
oh, God.
Quite as bad. Well, 90 isn't 100, you know?
And
the days are shorter, so it's not going to last as long. Come on, you negative Nant people.
Are we doing the daylight savings time eventually? Or is that, do we vote that out already?
I think it's November 1st.
Okay. I was going to say, because I know we keep voting on things like that, but I never know what happens.
We're in daylight savings time now.
Well,
so.
Or whatever you call it.
Yeah, so I don't.
I get confused.
I can't read. Do they want to eliminate standard time? And
just, No. We want to just make it one.
Yeah, but which one do they want to make it?
I don't know. And honestly, just make it one.
Just make it one.
Yeah.
Just decide.
Yeah, I can live with it. Just do it.
Although I have to admit, the driving home from the show last Saturday, the glare on Miramar Road.
Right, driving east.
Going east,
horrendous.
Yeah, I can
imagine.
It was
really bad.
Well, I saw a set of sunglasses on cable TV that you can get to cut right through that glare so you don't have to worry about it. You just flip them right down. They're tactical. And then you can see right through the glare with no problems.
Yeah, but it's the sun that's you're
Yeah, but not if
at.
You have the tactical sunglasses on.
Well, I guess I could just wear a welder's helmet.
I had this really cool thing in my car. It's right in front of my head. I don't know what they call it, but I can flip it down and it casts a shadow. No, it is awful this time. I know.
The only thing that would be worse is if it was raining.
Yeah.
And because when you have glare like that on wet asphalt, it's terrible. But with the cooler weather that we have coming up, or at least a window, if you have not sprayed your citrus trees or some of your other trees or shrubs in your yard, now is going to be a perfect weather window to do that. The temperatures are going to drop down below 85 degrees. I think it's below 85.
Yes, it is.
Which is perfect weather for doing that, especially on horticultural oil, which you should be spraying on your
citrus.
Spraying on your at least your citrus.
That's my plan this weekend. Yeah. I have scale on a lot of citrus, or we have scale on a lot of citrus.
No, I got the horticultural oil and I took it home and I put it in the garage. So I've already taken
at
care
least
of the
you're
problem.
You have it. Yes.
Yeah, I've taken care of the problem.
And following in your footsteps, I purchased it as well. It's been sitting in the car for 4 or 5 days. So hopefully this weekend.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go take a look and see if I even have any. I don't think I do. I'll have to pick some up.
They have some at Walter Anderson Nursery in Poway. It's just down the street from your house.
Yeah. It's just about 5 minutes from the house. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. The other thing that they were predicting, but apparently they're not predicting it anymore, was we were supposed to get some rain.
A teensy weensy bit.
A little bit, but enough to make things wet and to start the weed seeds from start growing.
I started doing that at home this week with a hose.
Growing weeds?
Well, I cleared out the vegetable garden, and I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago. I think I talked about it here, and I went and prepped the garden, and it had been fallow for a season. And I put in all sorts of amendments, and then I put out the seeds, and then I started watering it. And the seeds came up, and I was pretty excited, and I figured, oh, yeah, there'll be some weeds coming up, but I'll take care of that. And all the weeds started coming up, and then I put it off as I do once in a while, not all the time. And then it was all weeds. Yeah. So this time I cleaned it and prepped it, and I started watering it. I'll get the weeds up and then take care of those, and then do plant the seeds.
How do you plan on getting those weeds out?
Well, I was thinking as I was saying that, I hope nobody asks, but I'll probably cultivate them.
Turn it in a green manure.
Yeah.
Okay. A cover crop of some sort.
A ratatouille of some sort. I'm told I'm full of green manure, so put some in the soil.
Well, once you get that done and prepped, you can put strawberries in if you want.
I can.
We got fall strawberries in this week. Four or five different varieties in six packs, ready to go.
This year's been a big strawberry year.
Oh, my God.
Big strawberry year.
Yeah. It's been insane how many we've sold. And and one of the tricks I remember that my grandfather taught me in planting strawberries was he would prep the soil, put the fertilizer down, put the amendment down, mix it all in. Then he would put black plastic down and cut a hole in the black plastic and plant the strawberry in that. Then as the plant grows, the black plastic absorbs heat from the sun, so it keeps the roots warmer. And then as the plant grows, it grows out over the plastic and it bears fruit on the plastic. So it eliminates a lot of the soil-borne insects like sow bugs and things like that.
It also would take care of the weeds that would be coming up around there if you hadn't taken care of them properly prior.
And the only thing I would change now in doing that is instead of using black plastic, I would probably use black landscape cloth because it makes it easier to get the water through the plastic.
Yeah, that's the problem with plastic.
Yeah, you have to water very carefully if you're just using black plastic because there's not big openings for the water to get through.
You have to be very, very precise in your watering.
The other thing that you can do too is you can mulch them with straw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which everybody should have a bale of straw laying around.
Everybody should. That sounds like something I would say.
But the thing, how many people, I have bales of straw lying around. I'm sure you do.
Actually, I don't currently. Really? I've gotten, some of them have mulched into the soil and some of them are gone. I do still have the ties laying around.
the string.
Yeah. They get bound up in the lawnmower. It's really fun to undo that.
Well, I remember when I was really little, go to the nursery, we actually sold bales of straw. We sold bean straw. And I didn't realize this, but I was watching, I think it must have been A Growing Passion or one of those shows. But apparently San Diego County was the lima bean capital of California at one time. We grew tons and tons of lima beans here. And I remember as a kid, I'd be sitting on the stacks of bales of bean straw and you could pick through the straw. And I remember picking out lima beans.
Interesting.
That had been left over.
It's kind of like what I do with the decorative corn stalks we get in, but it's not lima beans I'm looking for. It's ears of corn.
Oh.
They're not as good on the ones that they're throwing away for decoration as the ones you get in the store, just for the record.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah, you don't have to try it now.
Yeah.
wasn't even a thought, Dave.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, but you mean for a normal person?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I vividly remember that as a kid, sitting there and picking through it. And they were full-size, like a regular hay bale, but it was just bean straw.
I have had a few wheat stalks come up in the garden from under bales of straw that I've had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was kind of neat because I don't know why it was kind of neat. Because it looked like a piece of wheat.
Like a wheat field.
Yeah. Well.
In miniature.
It was a bonsai wheat field.
I saw on a show one time, this was years ago, God, it might have even been before we opened Poway, but somebody was using wheat as part of their landscape. and they had a big section of it where they would sow wheat seed down. And when it grew, it was beautiful. I mean, just this big green patch of
wheat
foliage of wheat. But it's fairly light, and the wind would blow, right. and it would move around and put a lot of motion into it. The only downside was you had to reseed it every year. But it was a really, really pretty ground cover type planting. Another weird ground cover that my grandfather told me about a long time ago was somebody planted. God, I don't know if it was him. Planted little Phoenix Robolinis as ground cover. They just put them all over, and then when they got up to, got some trunk on them, then they go through and dig them all up, put them in containers, and sell them off, and then go and plant. But they used it as a ground cover.
We did that one year at the fair. We made a ground cover out of 5-gallon Phoenix Robolinis.
I don't even remember that.
It looked really good. It makes a very nice base.
It's expensive.
Yeah. But then when they grow up, we can dig them, put them in pots, and sell them and make a fortune.
You can make some money on it. If you'd like to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number.
In case, who's your grandfather? Just in case anybody out there doesn't know.
Oh, you mean Walter Anderson Sr.?
That's what there I thought you might want
to. The other thing with the weather, we're not expecting anymore. If you want to put out wildflower seeds, now is a perfect time to do that. But just be aware that if you're going to put out wildflower seeds, do not put out the pre-emergent weed killer, because that's going to cause you some issues.
You can put it out and manually water a couple of times and just get them started. I saw the Canadian forecast, the Canadian forecast system says that we might get some rain in 2 weeks.
We're going to have warm. How can they predict that far?
All this stuff's moving
around. We don't have our own rain. We have to import it from Canada. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Along with water. We live in a desert, George.
Okay. Well, and the other question I have about weather is we have the American models and then we have the European models. Why are we not all using the same model?
Well, because they all give different results.
Well, I understand that.
And they wait till all the different models come into agreement before they're certain on the forecast. And they did say in this, it's 2 weeks out, so it's a little early to have any confidence in the rain. But there's the global forecasting system, there's the European forecasting system, there's the Canadian everybody.
Every country has.
Well, it sounds like they're all waiting until it's actually raining to say that we're going to get rain.
Well, that's not a bad plan. It's usually fairly accurate. I do recall once seeing on the weather, they said due to numerous reports of precipitation in the area, we're going to add it to the forecast.
So because it was raining, they were going to add it to the.
They put it into the. Yes.
Their radar must have been down that day.
Interesting. What else we got to talk about? Oh, mum season. We're right in the middle of mum season.
Knee deep.
Which they're actually one of my favorite plants this time of the year. The color that they produce is absolutely amazing. Yeah,
and it's almost all colors too, you know what I mean?
There's quite the rainbow of colors that are out there. And one of the things that I miss about mum season was at the Wild Animal Park when they would do the mum festival every year. That was a huge, huge production for them. And they had to, what did Carrie say? They would start like 2 years out putting stuff together, growing stuff to get it ready to go. But the variety and, basically we sell either florist mums or bedding mums.
Bedding mums, yeah.
But the mums that Carrie would bring in for that festival were just amazing. Just absolutely amazing. They had trailing ones. They had all kinds of stuff.
There is a mum festival of sorts at my folks' house because my dad has one of the little bedding mums that comes back year after year. And so anytime it's blooming, it's mum festival season. And he's very excited about it. Yes.
Well, they probably put out more flowers per
square inch.
Per square inch of just about anything you can put out in the your bedding beds.
And they're perennials.
Yeah.
Cut them back when they get done blooming. They'll come back and bloom again.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have noticed it's kind of a mustard and dark red.
The striped colored, ones.
The striped ones.
Yeah, we have them. They're just inside the doors.
Incredible color.
Yeah.
It's striking.
They're really pretty.
Yeah, it's a really, really
So what's the color? They're a chrysanthemum, right?
Yeah.
See.
And there are two types, the florist, and you were saying you had the perennials?
Well,
they're called garden mums, right?
Yes.
I think. I've not grown them here, so I'm curious from your, what kind of culture do they need? Full sun, partial shade, what?
We'll get into that when we get back. We need to take a break. You're listening to Garden Talk here on The Answer, San Diego, KCBQ AM and FM, and K-Praise, KPRZ AM and FM. We'll be back with more right after this.
Your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same. But it's all right now.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on The Answer, San Diego, KCBQ, AM and FM, and K-Praise, KPRZ, AM and FM. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. And we were talking about mums, and George was just about to interrogate David about it. So,
well, I think he kind of was.
I already did. Yeah.
I got a little nervous. Can we turn off the spotlight and just take a step back?
What's the Karen culture, though, seriously? Because we do talk about, you know, that they're gorgeous plants, and I love looking at them at the nursery. I haven't planted them. I know they're perennials.
You want us to and to help?
I want to help people with garden
thumbs?
Talk
is
part.
Is that what
right,
it is?
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry.
They are perennials.
Yeah.
And you were saying there's florist mums and bedding mums. Well,
right.
I think they're kind of the same mums, but they're just different hybrids. And the bedding mums are smaller flowers. They will take anywhere from full sun all day to just a little bit of morning sun and come up and bloom. Usually this time of the year, but if you cut them back after they get done blooming, they're going to come back up and give you sporadic bloom throughout the year. And the flowers are smaller, the colors are great, but then we also get in the spectacular hybrids that we were talking about when you started grilling me. I'm really uncomfortable.
They have a profusion of flower. I mean, color. It's gorgeous.
They're just really, they're covered, and you don't see much foliage. You just see the flowers or the buds. And
correct.
The ones we got in were primarily buds with a few open flowers. So you get the best of both. You can see what it is and have flower right now, but it's still going to bloom for weeks, if not months. And when it's done, you can either throw the whole thing away and start over, or
leave them. And
like my pappy, you can cut them back and wait for them to come back again.
You know, florist mums are something that have kind of waned in popularity. We don't get them nearly as often as we used to. They used to be kind of a staple.
We used to get them in house plants or whatever.
Floral.
Floral is bigger flowered. I mean,
and spider
yes,
mums.
Yeah, exactly.
You just don't see them as much as
absolutely
they used
the
to.
Truth. Yes.
Just one of those things that fades in popularity.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably cyclical. They'll come back eventually, but
there'll be a Pinterest post somewhere, and then they'll be all the rage.
Something like that.
Did I answer your
question? You did, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
And they don't require a whole lot of water either. I mean, they're pretty tough. I mean,
they are super durable.
Yeah. Once they get established, of course, but yeah, but they are pretty, I mean, whites, yellows, purples, rust colors. Yeah. I guess they don't have an orange one. I guess, do they?
Well, rust. Oh, I mean, orangey, rusty.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a pretty wide range of color.
Yeah.
The milkweed craze seems to have calmed down to some extent. Yes. I'm guessing that's because the monarchs have moved out of the area for the most part.
They've had it with our stuff.
They're done. Although we do have some in stock right now. We did, at least we had some of the native in stock. We had some of the monarch magnet from Monrovia, which is really kind of a cool looking plant.
Yeah, the leaves
are pine leaf.
Different.
Yeah.
It's kind of migrated a touch. I had somebody in yesterday looking for anise. and
oh,
she
for
was
swallowtail?
Yeah, and she had found one anise swallowtail caterpillar, and she was wanted more to put on her plant that she was taking home.
One of our fennel section on Friday was there was must have been six or seven little
you know,
tiny
when I said
caterpillars.
Anise, I meant fennel.
Did you?
Thank
okay.
you for fixing that.
I'm here to help.
I appreciate that.
Well, we have a big bowl of Italian parsley out on the patio, and at one point in time, I think we had three or four big swallowtail caterpillars mowing on it. They have all since moved on, but they're actually that particular caterpillar is actually a pretty caterpillar compared to the other swallowtail caterpillars that are out there.
Oh, you mean the one that looks like bird droppings?
Yes,
the one that
yeah.
attacks
that,
citrus.
We had that too, and we actually found
okay, I'm coming
few,
after you.
We actually found a few swallowtail chrysalis around, but all of them were parasitized. So I don't.
You're judging these caterpillars by their appearance?
What are you talking about?
Well, you said they're better looking than others. You're
oh, ju- well, yeah, I guess I am.
All right.
So, but it's kind of a bummer. I didn't see that they, you know, yeah, you find the chrysalis in there, you could see the little hole drilled in the side of it from the wasp. I'm assuming it's a wasp that parasitizes them.
It's a fly, I think.
It's a fly.
It's a fly?
Begins with a T.
I want to say Takeda, but it's not. But no. It's in that. Tacnid.
That's it.
Tacnid. Yeah. Fly. Okay.
I can work through it.
Still lots of time and lots of stuff to plant in the garden if you want to get a winter crop of vegetables in. One of my favorite things to grow in the wintertime are
beets.
Snap peas. No. Oh. No, not beets.
they taste like dirt, George.
Snap peas.
Yeah.
Sugar snap peas.
Those are good.
You get
just walk around and pick them. In
oh,
the
I thought you said peas, and he said, no, not snap peas. You said beets.
I said beets.
Not beets.
Yep.
Okay, so my it tastes like dirt was appropriate.
You were accurate. Yeah. Right.
Okay, good.
But they're easy to grow. Just give them a trellis to climb on, and you can just walk it. When they start producing, you just walk out and pick them. You can eat them straight out of the garden. They're
yeah,
really
they are,
good fresh.
You know, I tried
good.
That with beets this year, too.
Eating them straight out of the
straight
garden?
Straight out of the garden after I washed the right. dirt
oh, I was going to say, it makes them even taste more like dirt.
Well, not if you wash it yeah. off. And when I do that, I try and use the hose near something that needs water so that I'm not wasting the water to wash the beets. But I did freshen my grow bags. I took the top couple of inches of soil out and added some compost to the potting soil and mixed it in to prep my grow bags for
yeah
beets.
Well, good.
I know.
I was too. We've prepped the garden in preparation for the winter garden.
You've prepped in preparation?
In preparation, but haven't gotten there yet. Hopefully today or tomorrow.
Well, one pro tip for growing sugar snap peas or even sweet peas, which now is a good time to plant sweet peas as well. Use the garden trellis netting, because at the end of the season, when you're cleaning everything out, all you have to do is wad it up with the vines still in it, yank it out of the ground and throw it away.
I thought you were going to say the pro tip is to soak them before you plant them.
Well, that you can do too.
And I got a text yesterday from Mary asking if it was too late to plant her peas if she waited another day to soak them. You know, I'm so late. I'm so far behind on my
yeah,
planting
people
season.
Panic on that.
Should I just put them in the ground and not wait the extra day? No. Go ahead and soak them.
Yeah.
Little known fact, they used to do a big flower show at Mission Valley Mall every year back in the 60s and early 70s. And I think it was 1968. I actually won an award for the sweet peas that I grew.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ken Anderson. Got my picture in the paper for it. Even.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I was too busy climbing on the dragon to notice those flowers.
Suffering a major head trauma when you fall off of it.
It explains a lot, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I remember the dragon and the. I also remember. Do you remember the big fountain that was in the middle? That big, tall copper fountain tower.
No, I was on the dragon.
You were on the dragon. Well, it was right down there next to the dragon. So,
I was focused.
I'm not falling off of the concrete dragon. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We still have a pretty good selection of Protea's in stock. Oh, which reminds me, I've got to check the two that I have to make sure I haven't croaked them. I was being really diligent about watering them about once a week. I have a Banksia and I have a Leucospermum that I brought home, a pincushion, and I've completely forgotten about them for a few weeks now.
So. In the ground or in containers?
No, they're in big ceramic pots. They're in a zone that does get some water from sprinklers, so that might be enough. But they were doing really well there while I was remembering them. So I have to check that today when I get home.
I put mine in the ground to try and mitigate that problem.
Well, see, the problem I have is my soil is so bad that I could probably get them established, but if we had any kind of rain it's going to rot them. Yeah. Yeah, they're terrible.
I tell everybody when they say that my soil is so bad, I tell them that you're not special. Throughout San Diego County, we have poor soil.
Yeah, my rocks and clay are
worse than anyone else.
Are worse than just about anybody else. But one of the plants that we don't get very often, but we actually have, we have four or five of them in stock in Poway right now, and it's a really pretty plant. I have not gotten brave enough to try to grow it myself, but the silver trees.
Argentium.
Isn't there one on Arrow Drive?
No.
It go bye bye.
That's a eucalyptus.
It is?
Yeah. I think it's eucalyptus. I think it's eucalyptus rodantha or eucalyptus or might be eucalyptus macrocarpa. I don't remember which one it is, but there's actually a sign in front of it that tells you what it is. So if you drive out there, you can see what it is. But I know exactly what you're talking about. And then a friend of mine who lives over in Ocean Beach, she was jogging through an alley over there on one of her morning runs, and there was that same type of eucalyptus. And it's got a flower on it that's that big. It's a huge, huge flower. That's why I thought it was rodantha, but it might be macrocarpa.
Did she take a picture of it and send it to you?
Yeah,
to
she did. What, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. She sent me a picture of it. And then I meant to go over and take a look at it and
forgot.
I forgot, and now I don't know where it is. So,
well, it's in an alley in OB.
In Ocean Beach, yeah. There can't be a lot of them over there, that's for sure. If you want to give us a call, 1-888-344-1170 is the number. We do one thing that we have in Poway that we haven't, I don't remember the last time we had them, if we've ever had them before, but if you like Banksias, we have two huge 15-gallon Banksias that we got in from San Marcos.
Okay.
San Marcos growers. They're really nice plants. And Banksias have they have a very interesting flower on them that big, looks like a giant bottle brush.
Yeah.
And the seed pods are made into when I've been to Australia, they make like Christmas ornaments and things out of them. They're really pretty.
I've seen there's a woodworking company down in Kearney Mesa called Rockler, and they sell the seed pods there. Right. People turn them on a wood lathe.
I have a beautiful Banksia blooming at home right now, and it's orange. The buds are kind of white, but as the flowers start to emerge, it's kind of a bright orange, real nice orange. And I put out my trail camera so that if the person that came by to swipe the pin cushions comes to swipe my Banksia flowers, I'm going to have it on video this time.
There you go.
Post it on Facebook so everybody knows who it is.
Shame them.
Yep. I'm okay with that.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break for some news. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they They all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on The Answer San Diego, KCBQ AM and FM, and KPRZ, KPRZ AM and FM. If you would like to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to go south, and we're going to talk to Alan in Chula Vista today.
We went south a long time ago.
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
What's
As
up?
As usual, it's fascinating just listening to you guys just carry on with nobody calling in.
Thanks for the phone call.
We appreciate you breaking it up. What's going on?
I have a question about applying the horticultural oil to citrus. Is it a good idea to wash the tree down first? We have a Eureka lemon, and it seems like it's formed the black stuff and the sticky stuff, kind of like a white fly infestation. But it's probably scale. I think I can see stuff on the branches or the branches of the tree.
Yeah, that would be, if it's on the branches, it's scale. If it's on the foliage, it could be white fly. But if you've got the sooty mold and the sticky honeydew on it, then you definitely have some kind of sucking insect on there. I don't think it's necessary to wash the tree down. If you use a hose end sprayer to put the oil on, that's gonna do a lot of it on its own.
Okay. If it happens to be a whitefly infestation, would the worm gold work? It works well on, I forget the name of it, but it's just like an oleander. We tried it on there and it works good. It takes a little while.
And yeah, the anecdotal evidence is that worm castings will help control whitefly. But the whitefly that gets on citrus is a little different than it.
It's a citrus whitefly.
They do get. Hibiscus. I have seen giant whitefly on citrus, but it's been a long time. And hibiscus too are subject to the giant whitefly. And I know my dad's used it, and he's said it works. So you're not going to hurt anything by trying it. That's for sure, because it's going to be beneficial to the soil, and there is some nutrient value to it as well, on top of any pest control advantage that you might get out of it.
Okay. Is it a problem as far as coverage of the tree? Like our Eureka is probably about, I don't know, maybe 11 feet tall or so. So do you have to get the underside, or you just spray it up in the tree, and does it coat the scale?
It kills by coating. So you have to have coverage on both upper and lower leaf surfaces. And if it's a big tree, you can spray the backs of the leaves on the far side of the tree through from the opposite side. So I would do it with a hose end sprayer, not a tank sprayer, so it's coming out under greater pressure and moves the leaves around so you can get complete coverage. And that will also blow out all of the debris and the dead leaves and stuff. I don't think it would be a problem to go through first with a hose and just water and blast off some stuff and clean it up. It might help a little bit. But if you're doing a good job blasting with a hose end sprayer, you don't need to do it twice.
Okay. It's kind of a curious thing. We live in West Chula Vista near Hilltop Drive, and we're about 2 miles from the bay. And our soil is it's sandy, but it's a dark sandy soil. And we have a rental house about 6 miles from us, and I have a tangerine tree and an orange, not a navel. What's the other one? Valencia orange. And those trees are fine. They're producing like crazy, and they're not ripe yet. But there's no scale on those. Is a difference in the soil? Because I think out at the rental house, it's more of a clay soil. Or is it have anything to do with how far you are from the bay?
I don't think either of those. Well, they may play some part in it, but you can have scale and problems right along the coast. You can have it all the way out in the desert.
And you can have it on trees that are 23 feet away from a tree that has zero on them. So it just doesn't matter. The insect's going to get there.
I want to say I will not eat green eggs and ham now, but I'm not sure. So it can happen anywhere. And it probably, well, not probably. I would think that if you have a heavier clay soil, it's holding more water and those trees are doing better, that maybe the tree that you have down at your house in the sandy soil isn't getting as much water, stressing the tree a little bit and making it more susceptible to pests.
Okay. All right, good deal. I'll give it a try.
Okay.
Thanks for the info.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Alan. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay. Bye. Take care. If you'd like to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk. I don't know where I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
Well, my Poncon is not dead yet.
Oh, good.
And during the heat, I went and sprayed everything with the Monterey oil. We talked about it a little bit.
Were you trying to kill stuff or just doing an experiment?
I was kind of doing...
It was an experiment.
It was an experiment, and it was successful. I even sprayed the stress tree, which I absolutely should not have done, just in case there was a significant amount of scale on the branches that I didn't notice it. And I'm going to have to go in and start digging and see what's going on. I don't know if there's gophers under there or something, but no matter what I do, the tree is not absorbing the water other than the interior and the bottom. So, but I sprayed all of them, and the trees got a very nice sheen to them. The mineral oil makes them look gorgeous.
Oh, no, it really does.
And it was a 95-plus degree day, and I sprayed probably at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they were fine. None of them suffered from the Monterey oil. Now, other oils, they do caution you above 85, but the Monterey, they swore to me 110 degrees in the Central Valley, it'll be fine.
Well, that's what you were saying. They use it in the Central Valley when it's really hot and dry.
This had no adverse effects on, and I sprayed half a dozen trees.
Well, that's good to know.
So I buy the. So here's my new process. We have the Monterey quartz with the ready to spray, the one you hook up to the hose, and then we have the gallon refills. So I get one of each, and then I can just refill that sprayer because I've got a ton of trees at my mom's I need to spray, and. Now's the time. Regardless, I didn't go spray her trees, but I did spray. Well, don't tell her that.
Does she think you did?
No. Oh. No, no, no.
She doesn't listen to the show.
I was going to say. She'll hear it on the podcast later.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But it does, you're saying, Alan was saying that he didn't have any bugs on that one, on the other trees. And I, usually you do. It may not be so bad that it's obvious,
right.
But I think it's a great idea to spray your citrus trees once or twice a year, regardless.
Oh, I've been advocating that for a while now, usually two or three times a year, just to be on the safe side, just to keep things under control before it gets so far out of control.
Especially
that you start
scale.
Having problems.
And I have an espaliered apple that had a really bad scale infestation. It was so bad that it didn't matter how much I watered it, it was still stressed. And I sprayed that in the middle of the heat with oil and it didn't adversely affect it. But I wasn't thinking about, we've been talking about doing oil on deciduous trees since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You get the horticultural oil and the other and
Volk
mix it
oil.
Together.
Volk oil and malathion, I think was the mix.
And I just never really had to deal with it, so I didn't see the need for it until the deciduous trees were coated with it. And I was at the Kaler's house this spring, and some of the roses weren't doing well. And there was a bad infestation of scale.
On roses?
On the roses.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
It was all over the newer growth on some of the roses. And so they got a little bit of horticultural oil, and it took care of that as well. It's scale is evil.
Yeah,
and
it's insidious.
Yeah, you see
plant,
it. And
plant barnacles, right?
Barnacles.
That's exactly what it is. But that was the standard procedure every fall when plants were going dormant. You spray them with horticultural oil, malathion,
and lime sulfur. Yeah.
And we used to tell people, it still has foliage on it. So, well, don't worry, it won't. Not when you get done.
Yeah.
But lime sulfur was an excellent fungicide, but man, that's
it
a reek.
Stunk, yeah.
It was horrible.
So now we do the hort oil for your insect control, and then we use liquid copper.
Correct.
For fungal issues.
Yeah, I've started using Immunox. Just it's stronger fungicide, and I'm not.
I think you can use Daconil too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kurt was always talking about Kurt, Daconil.
Yes. So, is Daconil even available still?
Yeah, it is. We sell it.
I haven't seen it on the shelf in a It doesn't mean it's not on the shelf. I just haven't noticed it.
I think right. It's there in a red bottle.
It's a red bottle. Absolutely correct.
Well, you know, that it is interesting, too. That we still have Malathion on the shelf.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
I think that's the only ortho product we have on the shelf that's not a weed killer.
We might even have some rose. I think we have a rose one, too, I believe.
Rose Pride. Their Fungenex.
Correct.
Yeah,
it's new generation of fungicide.
It's interesting. You know, ortho used to be
they dominated
the market until Scotts bought them.
Yeah,
as usually happens. I would say probably 3/4 of the shelves was ortho products.
Absolutely correct.
All kinds of really good stuff that you just can't. Yeah. You can't get it anymore. Some of it through regulation, and some of it just because
they discontinued Scotts. Scott's being Scott.
Now.
What?
Oh.
Am I?
He's not wrong.
Have I misspoke?
No, you have not misspoken.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on The Answer San Diego, KCBQ AM and FM, and KPRZ KPRZ AM and FM. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. You know, we didn't really talk too much this season about bulbs yet. We mentioned it a few times, but not a lot. But we are right in the middle of the fall bulb season, and we just got a huge amount of amaryllis bulbs in.
Oh, I checked.
You got them. Okay. And they've been released.
Okay, good. Because, I mean, we get a lot of phone calls on amaryllis.
And we got a lot of them.
Yeah.
So
we'll blow through them. It's funny. We sold out of freesia bulbs.
We still got freesias in Poway, but we sold out of...
The Ranunculus.
Ranunculus and bearded iris. We sold out of bearded iris pretty fast this year.
Yes, that's a good thing.
Because that's not something that usually happens.
No,
and they're totally fine after they've been on the shelf for a month, but they look awful.
Yes, they
look like something that shouldn't be on the shelf.
It looks like something that would be in my garage.
Yeah, exactly.
I knew it was around here somewhere. We did also, they're not out for sale yet, and you'll get some on Monday, get in the wire baskets that I've been promising you for a couple of months.
Very good.
So they look good.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah, they're nice.
This is a different vendor?
Really?
Yes. Yeah. The old vendor is gone, and there was no substitute. So they're made in USA in Kansas. I was going to say, they're made in USA in Canada, in Kansas.
Kansas.
I thought you said Kentucky.
Kentucky, that is. No, Kansas.
I told you Kentucky.
But that's not where they're from.
Okay.
It's your story, so say whatever you want.
Yeah, it's kind of like they're from the U.S. Canada.
Okay.
So now we can do some more of the staghorn ferns.
You can get the right kind of wire basket for your staghorn ferns. Yes.
I'm excited.
That's good.
What kind of wire basket were you looking for a staghorn fern? Like a wall basket?
Well, you could do that or just the round baskets. We did it
decades ago
in Point Loma. We potted up. We took 6-inch pots and we took the 10 or 12-inch wire baskets, packed them with moss. And just put the 6-inch pot right in the top, pack the moss around it. And they sat there and sat there and sat there. And then about a year later, all of a sudden, all the pups started forming at the bottom, the shields. And then they cover the basket, and the basket's gone, and you have the beginnings of your round.
Of the giant.
Yeah, we have a lady just brought one in.
Wrecking ball of a.
Two weeks ago, wanting to get a repot. She's got it. She has one in a hanging basket we did a long time ago. But she wants to clean it up and, you know, redo it. So we're working on that. I think Richie's working on it this
Well, David, you did one just recently with a
wire basket. I was so happy to have this rusted wire basket and all the sharp, rusty edges sticking out. It was awful. I tried my best to discourage the customer. You sure you want to do that? We could just do this. No, I'd really like to do it. Are you sure? We could do it this way.
It's not one that they use chicken wire.
Oh, I hate that too.
Oh, yeah.
You go in to cut it, and all of a sudden there's just all these little pins of rust.
Right.
Yeah. And I have very delicate hands.
Yes, you do.
Surgeon's hands. I have to.
Right. Well, have you seen the one that we have growing in Poway that's growing on the side of a 24-inch box?
No.
It's actually doing really well.
It is.
I don't even know how that's – how did that get started?
We had a big chunk that somebody brought in. And I set it on a 24-inch box. Yeah. I just set it on the 24-inch box. And then every time I'd do a staghorn class, I would cut off of that. Well, it grew through the cracks in the 24-inch box. And then I took the main part away. And now we just have a 24-inch box with a staghorn growing on it.
It's got two heads on it.
Yeah, it's doing very, very well.
We had one growing on the outside of a terracotta pot. Somebody gave it to us or something, but I mean, it was incredible because there's nothing there. There was no moss, nothing.
Yeah, there's no moss in this one at all.
Yeah, this is we sold it actually, but it was pretty wild because it's like it was just growing on the outside or on a terracotta pot, a big terracotta pot.
The people that
they're so
look
easy
at
to grow if they're in the right situation
and think they're so difficult
they
to
are
grow.
Incredibly easy.
If that's all.
You look at some of the habitats that they come from.
Yeah,
It's pretty harsh in some of those areas down there in Australia.
And I've oft told you, George, that anything that I have to take care of dies is a dead plant.
With the exception.
But the staghorns,
screw it up, huh?
I can't. I can come pretty darn close. I have a picture of a superbum that I could, it's further away from the hose. It's around the corner of the house hanging on a tree. So it doesn't see me as often as the other
ones. Right, and it's still surviving. It would thrive if it probably got more water. They still live.
I just purchased some Grow Power tablets a couple days ago to feed mine.
Yeah, it's perfect for that.
Yeah.
And for people with containers, those Grow Power planting tablets, not just in the backs of staghorns, but for the containers, I have one section now of containers that I have kept alive for years. And I bought the box of, I think it's 1,200.
Oh, the big, yeah.
Yeah.
And it says once a year. I do it two or three times a year. But I am... as you guys know, not somebody that's going to mix up a tablespoon of this and a gallon of water and start watering 100 plants with the fertilizer water. And the Grow Power planting tablets are awesome for containers.
And Ken, your dad uses them when he does this Cymbidium classes.
Correct.
Yeah.
He likes that product.
And the staghorns, too.
Yeah, right. He loves them, the staghorns.
What was it that we...
And it's funny, you don't have to buy them.
Was it FertiPills?
No.
Yes.
FertiPills. That we used to get.
One little box for Butlers.
That we would get from Butlers. Yeah. And then for a while there, we would buy the big boxes ourselves because I remember that was one of my jobs was to open up the box of the fertilizer tablets and then fill up big styrofoam cups.
Count them out.
And count them out and put them into the styrofoam cups.
Yeah, not anymore.
No. No, we don't do that anymore. No.
We have those Grow Power planting tablets in 45 counts and a 200 count, so you don't have to just buy them in a 1,200 count box. But if you have a lot of pots, it's such an easy way. House plants, whatever.
Yeah.
And orchids as well.
Correct. Makes it very easy.
The packets would probably work pretty well, too.
Those need to be in the soil.
Do those have to be in the soil?
I think so.
Because I think it was Mike Martin said that one of his tricks is he puts those in anytime he plants a plant,
he puts
one or two of those in depending on the size of the plant.
And it feeds for a year.
Yeah.
Now your dad,
up to a.
Yeah, I was going to say, your dad likes to put them in quarterly.
Yeah.
We did the Cymbidiums. He said every 3 months, drop that in.
Cymbidiums are they're pretty heavy feeders.
Right.
During their growth stage, you need to feed them a lot to get that pseudobulb to bulk up.
Cymbidiums, that's still, we don't see them as much as
they're not nearly as popular as they used to be.
I
don't think we've repotted a Cymbidium in Poway.
We've done a couple. We still have some old school customers down in Point Loma that have them and they'll bring them in.
We used to bring in tons of them for people to repot.
Well, just think of how many dozens or even hundreds were backed up at the nursery waiting for repotting. I mean, that's what Phil did constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phil and Byron would just be back there dividing them up.
Byron gear. Man.
Taking them apart and
Well, that's funny, memory lane.
Memory lane. But it's also, I remember we used to have in the back there, they were, he would repot them. I remember under benches, cymbidiums that were Phil had, or Byron, whomever had kind of thrown them under the table, and you go out there in the spring and they're in flower. There's not, I mean, they're not even planted. I mean, they're just laying on the ground with a flower. That's how easy they can be.
Well, I remember one time, back when I was in high school, I went through and I picked up all of the back bulbs that had been taken off. Right. I mean, we had a ton of them.
Yes.
And took them out to the ranch and we put them in 1 gallon containers. There must have been a couple hundred of them. And it takes, from just a single back bulb, it takes usually about a season or two, because you got to get the new, new growth started, and then it's got to build up the bulb, and then it'll bloom. But when you're dividing cymbidiums, you can hold on to those and start new plants. It's pretty easy to do.
Is that because we are now in a throwaway society?
I think so. I have no idea.
Grow them and multiply them. People used to start with a cymbidium, and then they multiply them year after year, because he wanted to be tight.
Just talked to a lady a month ago that, I mean, she wanted to have somebody potted because she had one and now she has 100. I mean, and she's like, I just give them to my friends, you know?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people would do.
Better way to look at it. We have done such a good job on educating people on how to divide and repot their cymbidiums. They don't bring them to us anymore because they're doing it themselves. That's what I'm sure is the situation.
At least two people I know.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on The Answer San Diego, KCBQ AM and FM, MK Praise, KPRZ AM and FM. We will be back next Saturday morning at 6 o'clock with another hour. We look forward to seeing you then. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.